Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sidney Wildsmith.
It's a whole new world, at least it is for the animals at the San Diego Zoo, who are now exploring and acclimatizing to their brand new homes in the zoo's new Monkey Trails exhibit. When we return, we continue our adventure as we visit with more monkeys, crocs, and hippos as your voice of the earth continues here on the Wildside News. It was fascinating to watch the animals explore their new world.
As you can see, it's fairly easy to get lost in here.
Yes.
It's a maze of trails. These are the golden-bellied mangabeys. This is also an African primate species. It's the male right there. Mm-hmm. It's in a group inside this exhibit. It's taken us a little while to get these animals together, but now we have five that are cohabitating very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what we would do, same thing, you can see the chutes up there, and the people up above can actually watch us doing the training sessions with them. And you can see some of the wire that we've had to add to some of the branches because the animals, of course, are destroying the bark on the live trees, so we need to try to get them to focus on other aspects of the exhibit. So we put in new logs and more ropes and give them different plant species to eat. And also they like the water feature over here. You'll see them playing in the water and trying to grab leaves and things out of it. So, and these are semi-terrestrial animals, so you can be down here on the floor and you can see them very well, and then every once in a while they will go up into the upper canopies and the people upstairs can view them from there. But the mandrills, the same thing, they're pretty much terrestrial. You see them on the ground most of the time. But then if you switch over and look over here at the Schmidtsquenens and the Angolan colobus, they're more arboreal.
Uh-huh.
And so you'd be able to view them from the upper canopies at, you know, sometimes at eye level. And then we have our free-ranging peafowl.
Beautiful little creature. I used to be able to do that call, but I best not do that right now. But there you go.
So, and here's one of the Schmitz is coming over. It looks like he's interested in somebody or something. They're very curious animals.
Schmitz, that's a monkey?
Schmidtsquenen, yes, it's a monkey. They're also called red tail, as you can see. Their tail is like a nice rusty red. They're African.
These are African, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're also in with Angolan colobus monkeys. So that's here you have a mixed species exhibit where you, if you were in the wild, you would see these animals crossing paths every now and then. So that's what we're trying to, you know, educate people and show them that there's, you know, a whole niche to be fulfilled with multi-species.
I was lucky while on one of the higher levels to stand across from a wolf scunion, a female, and a wonderful rambunctious baby.
So this will be another mixed species exhibit, and we have wolves guenons, which are monkeys, African monkeys, in with pygmy hippos, a male and female pygmy hippo.
Do they ever interact that you can actually witness?
I've seen the wolves guenons, you know, look at the hippos, get fairly close, and then decide the hippo is far larger than them and they probably shouldn't mess with it.
Uh-huh. So now we've walked up some steps here, and we're looking down, overlooking a little pond of water with some trees and starling vines growing up. But then at the same time, I can look across, and it's at, almost like at a ground level, but it's a raised ground level. Very interesting, yeah.
So there's Mom. She's on the far right side. Looks like the baby's up in the ficus tree, and then went down to harass Mom a little bit. Of course, the kid now is getting further and further away from his parents. You know, about a month ago, that wasn't the case. He was really sticking to Mom. It took him about 3 days just to feel comfortable enough to come out of the building into this new exhibit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These animals really hadn't experienced live plants like this before, mm-hmm. and the way that they were housed in the past. And so, you know, they're kind of like out in this you know, abyss almost. They don't know how far it goes, and they couldn't actually see the other side from their bedrooms.
Well, this is heading towards middle July, so quite honestly, this is new to them as well.
Oh, yes, this is very new to them. Like I said, they had never even experienced the different textures and things that they have out here. Mm-hmm. The natural deadfall, the vines, different types of plant material, the sand that you have on the mm-hmm. beach for the pygmy hippos, mm-hmm. and the pygmy hippos themselves. I mean, we didn't know what was going to happen at first encounter, but the monkeys did know that they were a lot smaller than a pygmy hippo, so they decided to stay away.
Yeah. Did you notice any obvious change, like in their sense of well-being? Did they seem to be a little more, for example, exploratory or curious as they were exposed to these new environments and actually just stimuli?
Oh yeah, definitely. They're much more active. They still want to come into the rooms at night. Just seems like, you know, for a safety aspect, they feel real comfortable in there. They know that, you know, nothing's going to happen to them in there. It's their little comfort zone. But once they're out into the exhibit, they're all over the place right now, and we're also going to add birds to this exhibit in the future, so that'll throw another aspect of animal life in here.
Do you know how you make the determination on which animals to mix?
You have to look at their personalities as well, you know, to see if, and also to see if, you know, this is a natural type of mixed species that you would see in the wild, mm-hmm. that they'd actually cross each other's paths. So, and then you have to look at the animal's personality, if he's aggressive or not, or, you know, what is going on with this little family unit. And here it was a male and a female and their newborn baby that was just like a month old. But they seem to be compatible with the pygmy hippos.
Very cool. Let's go take a look at those hippos.
Imagine what it was like for these animals as they now had the chance to explore, feel, taste, tear, and climb within this new natural exhibit. All of these textures and tastes and sensations were new to them. I watched as the baby gunion did a Spider-Man-esque romp through a shrub. It all seemed so natural, so right. A recent study of children with ADHD tracked the effects that various after-school activities had on ADHD kids. The inability to concentrate, the irritability, the anxiety and uncontrollability. And the study has announced that the best medicine for ADHD kids is a good shot of nature. Exposure to nature, that exploring, poking, climbing, open-ended gift, is consistently the best curative. Beats all the drugs and medications and medicines. Truth is, the same holds for all of us. Touch nature, and it sucks the stress levels out of you. Want to really relax? Find a place in nature you feel comfortable with, and then lie down, touch the earth, and it draws the technotoxins right out of your body. Animals are always fascinating. We wandered down around the lower side of the gunion exhibit, where they shared their space with the crocs and the pygmy hippos, who had left their sandy beach and were both doing that underwater hippo dreamlike swim. There were two of them, one about half again as big as the other. They were pygmy hippos, not much bigger than a small bear.
Now we just walked down some steps and around. We're on the back side of the exhibit, and now we're at, I can look under the water and above the water at the same time.
This is the dwarf crocodiles, and you can see one up on the beach right now, which we haven't seen that on a regular basis. They're usually in the water, so that's really neat. You can see the whole animal.
So they're becoming a little more comfortable as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're eating well, and it looks like he's just catching some sun up there. But they're fascinating animals. And then next door to them is the pygmy hippos. And you can see one in the water right now.
Yeah.
That looks like the female Francesca.
It's amazing how much they are water creatures.
Oh yeah, they're not as much. They don't spend as much time in the water as the river hippos do. But you'll see them in the water throughout the day, and then up on the beach, laying in the sun and taking naps. And They're very active after, say, around 6 o'clock at night. They get really active in the evenings. And early in the morning, I see them frolicking in the water or rubbing their backs on the floor of the exhibit and inside the pool. So let's go upstairs. Sure. You can actually see better.
Sure. Now there's, here's two.
Yeah. That's the male on the left.
Oh, really?
And that's the female.
Now he's a little
on the right.
Smaller, is that?
He's smaller because he's only 2 years old.
Gotcha.
And she, the female, is about 13 years old.
How long can they typically stay underwater before they have to take a breath?
These guys usually see him under for about 5 maybe to 8 minutes.
Wow. Looks like they're about ready to. Oh, he's giving her a kiss.
Or the something like that.
Yeah, something.
They're communicating. Now here's the wolf going in over here. So he's come down real close.
Oh, yeah, right, right. He's running around in the sand, having a good time. Yeah, exactly. Monkey. Handsome guy.
Oh, yes, very.
Uh-huh.
See, that's the Algon, the male.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see some of the scarring on his side is from the female. Just kind of, you know, every once in a while going after him. And she has tusks. They both have tusks. Mm. And same thing, we've trained the animals to open their mouths so we can trim their tusks.
Wow.
Instead of having to, you know, actually immobilize them just to trim their tusks. But, she gets assertive every now and then.
Hey, here's a question that I have never known. Can they see through the glass? Do they
yeah.
see us?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We might be a little blurry, you know. They're underwater.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. Okay. Now, are they considered a mate?
Yeah, we mate? Acquired the male Algon specifically for Francesca, and hopefully, you know, he'll come back someday and we'll have little babies.
They're going to have to learn to get along a little better. I think they can't figure out who's chasing who here.
Yeah, now he looks like he's... Oh, yeah.
He's biting the tail.
He's on the tail.
I've always loved their big round eyes, which they keep wide open with that wonderful hippo smile. The exhibit also contains an exhibit which includes one member of one of my favorite family of birds, the weaver birds. I encourage each of you to spend some time in your life looking into the wonders of the weaver birds. They are from Africa and build some of the most complex animal structures in the world. They are, in fact, magnificent works of art. Beautifully designed. Each species has its own amazing design. In many cases, it includes a large stage in front of their mansion on which they collect and place very specific treasures. Each bird determines which treasure it will collect, then gathers them, groups them, arranges them, and maintains their very specific arrangements. Not only that, but associated with these magnificent personal artistic interpretations are some of the most amazing courting behaviors of any bird species. Well, yes, the Monkey Trails exhibit at the San Diego Zoo includes nesting weaver birds, which wasted no time in beginning the evolution of their nests. I easily noted two that were already close to 2 or more feet in diameter. And while I was ogling them, on the ground was one of the most beautiful birds I've ever seen. I have a thing for metallic colors, and purple is a favorite. Here was this bird that was entirely feathered in the most shimmering metallic purple feathers. It's the amethyst starling. I only wonder if it sings as sensationally as it looks. The starling songs by our little black starlings always catch my ear. The monkey walk exhibit is new. They are adding some wonderful plant life, some of which gets fairly exotic.
Some large bamboo, that must be 30 feet tall.
And then, yeah, we have bamboo, and then this is our bog garden.
Oh, wow.
And this is a very special, unique garden in that these plants are they're Asian plants. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the Venus flytrap and the carnivorous plants. And that's what we have here in the garden. And you can't use this city water on these plants. It's one of the unique features is that we have to use deionized water. So it runs from our tanks over in the building all the way through over here. And that's how the the bog is being taken care of on a regular basis by the horticulturist.
Now, is that because literally the city water, the drinking water, is not pure enough?
No, because of the chlorine that's in the city water. And so it'll actually kill the plants. So, same with the fish. We have aquariums here on the other side of the hippo exhibit, and of course, you know, the city water would actually kill fish if you didn't dechlorinate it. You'll see flies and different bugs flying around, insects through here, and they'll end up down inside the pitchers, and the top will close, and they'll be digested fairly quickly. So
Things of nightmares.
It's a really neat attraction, and the guests are very much interested in it.
Yeah, you can spend a lot of time here, and a whole variety of different sorts of carnivorous plants here on display, and quite colorful.
There was a lot of excitement and energy everywhere I went during the tour. You could feel it in the staff as well. It just seems everyone was marching to a happy drummer.
Do you have fun at this?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah. You only do it because you love it. You know, it's a great job, and the animals give you a lot. Like I almost fell over laughing up there earlier because he did something outrageous. He just ran from the one end of the exhibit, jumping over, perching, and making all these big leaps just to get some food. So there's different times the animals amuse you, and it's definitely a fun job.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Now, we all hear about how zoos can be bad places for animals. Yes, indeed, they can be. But zoos are learning quickly and implementing exciting new concepts into their exhibits that make the experience better for all.
It is the third phase of the heart of the zoo. We wanted to redo the entire central area of the zoo, and we wanted to actually get rid of some old dilapidated cages that we used to house the primates and the birds in. They were built in the early 1930s, and so it was time to just get rid of all of that and go to the bioclimatic zones and the natural exhibits. And so we could show the guests, you know, that this is pretty much how you would see these animals behaving in the wild.
Do you expect to do more of this in the future?
Yeah, I think there's other projects lined up, and we'll be moving on to other parts of the zoo and taking out the old and putting in some new.
And it is important to understand that there is a lot of work that happens behind the scenes of zoos, work on breeding, health, and behavior. In some respects, that may be where zoos might uncage their work and make it more visible to the public as well. Because quite honestly, people have a natural love of the wild creatures, and we too are learning, and the more we can know, the better.
Well, I want to thank you for your time, and I know you're going to go see the gorillas now, so I certainly appreciate that. We've had a wonderful conversation with Kimberly Livingstone, and I want to thank you for your time on the Wild Side News.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay.
It sometimes feels that the scientists like to keep their knowledge to themselves. It is, after all, their domain and their trade secrets. But I believe the public is hungry to know the science and facts of the wild creatures, and when they own that understanding, so much of the work to keep this living wonder alive will be spread, as it should be, amongst the diverse minds and souls that keep this whole thing going. I thank you for coming along on this adventure. We have many more ahead. So until next time, or any time in the archives, this is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios until we meet again, here on the Wild Side News.